Ordinarily, January 25th is the day that the Church celebrates the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. But because the 25th, today is a Sunday, then the celebration of Sunday takes precedence. But since, as I said at the beginning of Mass, all the readings talk about conversion and a change of heart, I thought maybe it would be good for us to kind of talk about the conversion of St. Paul and its effect and example for our own lives. I think we're all familiar with the story of St. Paul. His name originally was not Paul, but Saul. He was born in Tarsus, which is in present-day Turkey, part of the Roman Empire, and as such, he and his family were Roman citizens. But Jewish in faith, St. Paul was a very well-educated member of the Pharisees. He grew up to be a great scholar of the Jewish law. He studied very hard. He went to Jerusalem to become a rabbi. And he was certainly filled with a great zeal for the Jewish law and developed, as he grew older, a deep hatred for the way. The way, of course, meaning the Christian way, as we were first called. Before being called Christians, we were called members of the way, that is, the way of Jesus Christ. He was hired by the Jewish courts to go out and really find Christians who had been practicing the faith and bring them to the Jewish courts for judgment and for punishment. And he went anywhere that he possibly could. So he's on his way north to Damascus in Syria, to a Christian community there, a Jewish Christian community. And on his way to Damascus, he is met with a great blinding light. He can't see anything, he can't hear anything except a voice that calls out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He cries out, "Who are you, sir?" The voice answers, "I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting." The light dissipates, and he can't see anything anymore. He begins to experience what many spiritual writers have called the dark night of the soul. He can't see anything outside. He can only reflect on the inside and think about what he's been doing and why. The Holy Spirit's working on him as now he begins to see Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the Jewish law and all the prophets he had studied for so long. And so, blind and alone, Paul's conversion begins. Eventually, he's healed and the blindness is taken away. He gets to know the apostles. He gets to know some of the early Christians. He begins to find out more and more about who this Jesus Christ was and, of course, who Jesus Christ is. And for Paul, as he's now called, everything changes. Everything changes. He lost his privileges and his prestige as a scholar and as a rabbi. Now he's got to work with his own two hands, and he goes to work as a tent maker. He goes from persecuting Christians to preaching the gospel. Now he's counted as one among the apostles since he witnessed the resurrected Christ. It's altogether new. Throughout his writings in the New Testament, St. Paul talks a lot about sin and, of course, about grace. St. Paul talks about repentance and he talks about conversion. He talks about death. And he talks about life, life in Christ. St. Paul is what we can call the first theologian. He's the first one to really develop Christian thought and Christian doctrine, as well as its application to the lives of Christians. And St. Paul describes the effect of conversion and the effects of grace. St. Paul is very aware, as we should be, of his misery without Christ. He's very aware of his misery without Christ. He's also very aware of his unworthiness to be called by the Lord for so great a task. But St. Paul had an experience of God that every one of us should have. St. Paul had the deep experience of God's mercy. He had the experience of God's forgiveness and the deep experience of God's love. We can know about it. We can talk about it, but it's altogether something different to be able to really feel it deep down inside. And if you've ever been pulled down to the depths, I mean close to rock bottom or hit rock bottom, then you know what I'm talking about. Knowing that when nothing else matters, God certainly does. This was something that St. Paul absolutely had to tell others about. And he did so, to people who were just as miserable and just unworthy as he. To people, as he put, walking in darkness, people walking in confusion and walking in error. To the Jews first, and then St. Paul takes the message to the Gentile world, to Greece and to Rome, and eventually it goes to all of Europe, to our ancestors, and we know the rest of that story. It's something that we should be doing too, as I said, to have that deep experience of the mercy, the forgiveness, and the love of God, and likewise go out to this world that we know is just as miserable as can be without Christ. None of us worthy, but called to bring to people in this world light instead of darkness, truth instead of confusion and error, to bring them faith that Christ does matter. St. Paul also realized that he was simply the vessel. He's the vessel, not the source of the gospel that he preached, nor the source of the grace he imparted. And so are we, that we become vessels of the gospel that we believe in and that we preach and teach by our lives. The graces that we receive all come from Christ, everything, all the Lord's doing. But St. Paul followed the example of Jesus, and he emptied himself of everything. Emptied himself of everything that was not of Christ, and he did so with gratitude for the Lord's mercy. For St. Paul, death actually meant gain, that in losing everything, we receive everything, and dying, we have eternal life, and emptying ourselves, we receive Christ. And St. Paul boasted of nothing except the cross of Christ, until finally, after nearly 30 years of preaching and teaching and very hard labor, he finally gave his life for his master. The message of the scriptures that we heard is absolutely clear. Every one of us being called by God to do away with the past, to repent of past evil, to ask his mercy and forgiveness, to let him teach us his way, and to give us the grace to follow his way. And St. Paul reminds us, life is short. Life is indeed short, and our time is running out. But we're here, like the apostles, to listen to that voice of Christ, to hear the call of Christ, and like St. Paul, like Peter and Andrew, like James and John, to leave behind all the unnecessary cares of the world. To live in this world, obviously, we have to do that, but living in this world, preparing for the next. Living in honesty and humility, living in simplicity and in detachment. That's what God wants us to do. Prepare for the next world by being honest with him, being honest with one another, and live in that honesty. To be people who are humble, who live simply, and are detached from this world. Now that last word, detachment, is probably the most difficult of the virtues for us to acquire. It means a letting go of everything. Not to have any desire to possess, which we all have. No desire to possess a person, no desire to possess any object or thing, no desire to possess any place, nothing. Realizing that everything belongs to God, even us. We have been purchased by God at the price of his son's blood, as St. Paul teaches us. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. As Christians, we belong to his kingdom, the kingdom of God, not to this world. And you and I are here to bring that message, the message of the love and the peace, the message of the grace of Jesus by our words and actions to the world. We belong to him. He belongs to us. In speaking, we'll often say things like, this is my wife. This is my husband. These are my kids. This is my house. This is my car. This is my job, my money, my grades, my life, my body, my mind, etc., etc., my this and my that. But none of this is yours. Even what I claim to be mine, not at all. Your spouse, your children, your possessions, your career, your money, your successes of all kinds, everything. Nothing is yours, nothing mine. Everything is the Lord's. All things God's. And given to us as a gift, only for a time, but a gift that was given us so that we can accomplish God's purposes. It's all about Him, never about us. We are not our own. As I said, we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. All that is truly ours is our sinfulness and our rebellion against the Lord. But even that Jesus wants to take away and do away with forever. This, as Jesus says, is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Every day, every minute, to turn away from temptation, to let go of sin, to turn to Christ and live in the grace that He offers us. He's asking us to let go of that supposed need that we have. Let go of that need to control. Let go of that need to have, to want, to cling to give everything to God. My brothers and sisters, like St. Paul, we should be filled with that burning love for Christ. A burning love for Christ and nothing else but Christ. And be filled with the zeal to live and to spread the gospel in faith, in hope, and in charity. Are we worthy? Of course not. None of us are. We're not worthy, but we are indeed chosen. There's no doubt about that. We are the means, but Christ Himself is the way. And so I conclude with a prayer from St. Ignatius Loyola. You simply kind of close your eyes and pray this prayer along. Make it your own. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All that I have, all that I call my own, You have given all to me. To You, Lord, I return it. Everything is Yours. Do with it what You will. Give me only Your love and Your grace. That is enough for me.